Madhava Kunjabhyare Kopi Dana Balava Yirvanadare Kopi Dana Balava Yirvanadare Sodananana Brajadanarandana Yasodananana Brajadanarandana Chamunati Havanacharya Chamunati Havanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Kopi Dana Balava Girvanadare Kopi Dana Balava Girvanadare Chasodananana Vrajajanarandana Yasodananana Vrajajanarandana Chamunati Havanacharya Chamunati Havanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhyare Kopi Dana Balava Yirvanadare Kopi Dana Balava Yirvanadare Yasodananana Vrajajanarandana Yasoda na na na, Braja na 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 na. Damunatiha, damunatiha, anacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. His Divine Grace, Lacey, Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribo, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Budai, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj Namane, Namaste Sarasvatim Dei, Sarasvatim Dei, Nirvise Sarasvatim Paskyatya De Sitarna. Om Aganatamanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sunavyevacha Padidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. Text number 3. Yasmin idam yatash chedam varcha idam yena idam ya idam swayam ya asmat parasmat cha Para tam prapadye swayambhuvam yasmin idam yatas chedam yenedam yaidam swayam yosmat parasmat cha paras tam pra Prapadye swayambhuvam yasmin idam yatas chedam yenedam yaidam swayam yosmat parasmat cha paras tam prapadye swayambhuvam Yasmin. The basic platform on which. Idam. The universe rests. Yataha. The ingredients from which. Cha. And. Idam. The cosmic manifestation is produced. Yena, by whom? Idam, this cosmic manifestation is created and maintained. Yaha, he who? Idam, this material world. Swayam, is himself. Ya, he who? Asmat, from the effect. This material world. Parasmat, from the cause. Cha, and. Paraha, transcendental or different. Tam, unto him. Prapadye, I surrender. Swayambhuvam, unto the supreme self-sufficient. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredients by which everything has been produced, and the person who is created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Maya tatam idam sarvam. Jagat avyaktamurtina. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but everything rests upon my energy. Just as an earthen pot rests on the earth. The place where an earthen pot rests is also earth. Then again, the earthen pot is manufactured by a potter whose body is a product of earth. The potter's wheel with which the pot is made is an expansion of earth. And the ingredients from which the pot are made are also earth. As confirmed in the Shruti mantra, Yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayant ya bi sham vishanti. The original cause of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and after being annihilated, everything enters into Him. Prakritim yanti mami kam. Thus, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The Lord is the cause for everything, but there is no cause for Him. Sarvam kal vidam Brahma. Matstani sarabhutani na chaham teshavastitaha. Although He is everything, His personality is different from the cosmic manifestation. Yasmin idam itasche dam yenedam ya idam swayam. Yosmat parasmat cha paras tam pravadye swayam bhuvam. The Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredients by which everything has been produced, and the person who is created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bhajarane Nirvisesa Shrinivadi Paskatya De Sitarane. Here is an explanation how everything is spiritual, but although everything is spiritual because it comes from Krishna, but still Krishna has different energies. It is said, Natasya Karyam Karanam ca vidyate, natat parascha, vyadikascha drishyate, natat samascha, vyadikascha drishyate, parascha shaktir, vividaiva shruyate,
Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. And the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, especially in this material world, Natasya Karyam, Karanam Chavidyate. We come here to the material world because we want to lord it over the material nature. Although constitutionally it's not possible for us to lord it over the material nature, but at least we have the desire to do so, and therefore Krishna creates a situation by which at least we're imagining that we're lording it over the material nature. We should remember, according to the Bhagavad Gita, Anaditvam Gunanivat Paramatmayam Avyayam Sharira Stopikunteya Nakaroti Nana Lipyate, that those who can see with the eyes of eternality can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither entangled, nor is he doing anything. So this comes as a shock to most conditioned souls. What do you mean I'm not doing anything? I'm doing so many things. But this is our illusion to think that we think that we're doing anything. This is called ahankar. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti magnate. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Because we're vimudatmas, we're fools by the material energy, therefore we think that we're doing things. We'd rather fall asleep than find out that we're not doing anything. That much we should stay awake for, at least to find out how we're not doing anything. So what is doing something? In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that there are five causes for any accomplishment of activity. One of them is this body. Indeed, if we didn't have a body, we couldn't do anything in the material world. You don't see 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair souls moving around, you know, building buildings or taking prasadam. So without a material body, it would be very hard to do anything. And if we did something, no one would notice it anyhow because we're so tiny. But not only the material body, but we also need senses. Just the body itself won't do anything. You have to have eyes and ears and nose and etc., the different senses, in order to be able to do something. And there has to be something to do. Just to have a body in itself won't mean anything unless you have something to do. So those are the three factors that are quite obvious. The other factor is ourselves, the one who usually takes credit for doing everything. And then ultimately there's a super soul. So anyone who doesn't understand these five factors and thinks himself the only doer is not very intelligent and cannot understand things as they are. And out of all these five factors, the super soul is the one who senses the desire of the soul, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by being near it. So because there's a super soul within our heart, he's understanding what we desire, and he's giving us intelligence, knowledge, and forgetfulness. In other words, without intelligence, knowledge, and forgetfulness, we don't know what to desire. So he's giving us at least enough intelligence to remind us what we wanted to desire in the past. Given that, even our ability to desire is not independent of the super soul. So the super soul, he knows what we desire, just like they say Santa Claus. He knows if you're good or bad. So the super soul is much better than Santa Claus. He knows exactly what we've desired in the past and what we deserve in the present. And he tells the material nature to arrange itself in such a way as to satisfy our desires according to what we deserve. So in this way, there's a constant interplay between the soul, desire, and his desert, and Krishna arranging the material nature. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Nachamam tani karmani nivandanti dinanjaya udasinadvarasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. You know that verse? I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. Krishna says, all this work cannot bind me. I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. So Krishna, he's spending a lot of time in everyone's heart. There's a lot of hearts too. There are unlimited living entities. Ananta kalpate, ananta vaya kalpate, unlimited living entities. And he has to figure out exactly what they deserve, exactly what they're desiring, and make all kinds of arrangements in the material nature to satisfy them. So that's a big job. But for Krishna, it's not such a big job, because that's why he's God. For us, we can imagine the type of computer you'd have to be able to figure it all out. It would be bigger than the universe, probably. But Krishna, he's so expert that he does it. But this is not the only thing he's doing. He's not spending his whole time trying to figure it out, fit all the pieces together. But this is just a little, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that with a single fragment of myself, I pervade ekam sena stito jagat. With just an angsa, with a little fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire creation. So it is not Krishna's only business, it's simply satisfying the conditioned souls. He's actually mainly engaged in the spiritual world with his unlimited devotees engaging in loving pastimes. We shouldn't think that Krishna has nothing to do. That means he's not doing anything. Just like a very wealthy person, he has no obligation. He has nothing to do, but he may be engaged in so many sporting activities. So because Krishna is God, he's engaged in so many loving pastimes simply to increase his pleasure and the pleasure of his devotees. That's his only activity. But in the material world, he acts like the judge and awards and punishes different living entities according to what they desire and what they deserve, what their desert is. So here it says that everything, mayatatamidam sarvam jagada vyakti murtina, everything that goes on is Krishna's energy in the material world, and it is all under Krishna's sanction, it is all under his control. But at the same time, Krishna says, I'm not attached to any of it. I'm not entangled in it. I provided all the energy. And the souls, they're struggling in the material world, but I'm not responsible. So it is all Krishna's pastime, but Krishna is not personally involved in it. He's not attached to it, at least. He's not worrying over it. It's all going on by Parashya Shaktirva Vividaiva Shuyate Swabhavaki Gyana Bala Kriyacha, by his energies. Therefore, an intelligent person, he also thinks that there's nothing to be gained in the material world. Krishna himself has condemned it as Dukkhaliyam Ashasvatam, a place which is full of misery. Krishna doesn't come here to gain anything because he sees it simply a waste of time. It is just like the mirage in the desert. So one may be in an oasis enjoying different types of fruits and flowers, but due to mental concoction, one may wander out into the desert in search of a mirage. But a sane person who knows the nature of mirage knows it's futile, that there's nothing in the mirage. So similarly, the search for happiness by the conditioned souls in the material world, it's simply a waste of time. But it is said, Tasyaiva heto prayate to go vido, talabhyate yad brahmatam udparyada, talabhyate dukavad anyutak sukam, kalyena kalyena sarvatma gabhira ramhasa. That those who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined through endeavor for that purposeful end, which is not obtained by wandering up and down throughout the material universes. As far as sense enjoyment goes, that will also be obtained in due course of time, just like without searching for it, one automatically obtains distress. So the material world is so arranged that at one moment we think we're enjoying, everything is great, and next moment we think everything's terrible, we're suffering like anything. So this is the endless cycle, this is samsara, of constantly changing from positions of distress to positions of so-called enjoyment. But in the background, there's simply distress. Anyone who thinks he's going to become happy in the material world, constantly knowing that he has to alternate between distress and happiness, then such a person who seeks happiness in such a place is a fool. Of course, there's a lot of fools, but anyhow, he's one fool among many fools who are constantly endeavoring for so-called perfection of happiness in a place where there's only misery. Therefore, one should know the person behind the whole thing is Krishna and take his advice, because he knows the whole machine, how it works, and he says, get out of here as quickly as possible. That this is a place which is not meant for anyone's peace of mind. Get out as soon as possible. That's the only advice Krishna says. Sarva dharman parijaja mame kama sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshi shama suchaha. Get out, surrender to me, follow my guidance, I'll lead you out of this horrible place, and in return, that I'll give you a place in the spiritual world. So that doesn't mean that necessarily one has to leave this body. A spiritual world means spiritual consciousness. Getting out of that idea that I'm the enjoyer here, I'm the doer, I'm doing so many things, I deserve so much credit, I need so many results, I need so many things, this and that. One who becomes situated in the self, the real self of the soul, by becoming situated in the spiritual consciousness of Krishna consciousness, who is constantly absorbed in remembering Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes, one who actually enters into the spiritual world, that even in this lifetime, he's jivan mukta sa uchite. He becomes liberated. Simply, we have to return the stolen goods. Simply agree that to utilize this body for Krishna, to utilize the mind for Krishna, to utilize the intelligence for Krishna, to speak on behalf of Krishna, to simply engage fully in devotional service, and the result is that all these misconceptions of thinking that there's something other than Krishna, this will go away, and one day one will be able to realize who he's actually, what our actual position is, what our real environment's supposed to be, where we come from, and how to be peacefully situated there, and not have to go through this endless ups and downs material experience. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes. Yeah, it's not that it won't happen to us either. There's one Bengali proverb about the gober paddy. Gober paddy means cow stool. So in India they make gober paddies. They take the cow stool and they make it into little gober paddies, and then they throw it into the fire to heat it up, cook on it, or to heat it up during the winter. So the ones that are dry, they're being thrown in. The one that's wet is laughing. Ha ha, just see. He's being thrown into the fire. But he doesn't realize that after some time, he's going to dry up too, and then they're going to throw him in the fire. So that dryness, Prabhupada said, is coming to everyone. Old age, disease, and then finally you get thrown in the fire too. So people enjoy reading in the newspapers about how people are suffering like that. But one day they'll maybe have a couple of lines about us too. How can our desire be independent? We're desiring according to our circumstances, according to the intelligence Krishna is giving us. Otherwise, how do we know how to desire? We can't desire about something we have no consciousness of. And our consciousness depends upon Krishna. So our independence, we can desire to serve Krishna. We have the right intelligence. We accept that intelligence. Or we could desire, according to our material circumstances we're under, to serve our dictation of our senses. Otherwise, we don't have any independence. Develop eyes of knowledge, jnana chakshus. Don't accept that I just sit in class. When I sit in class, I learn something, and I'm obligated to forget it when I walk out of the room. My little bubble of knowledge breaks, and as soon as I walk out of the room, there's a little invisible needle in the doorway that that breaks my bubble of knowledge when I walk out. So keep the vision. Try and remember Krishna, chant Hare Krishna constantly, and try and see through Shastra. Develop our intelligence in such a way that we see. Yeah, of course. It has nothing to do with us. But we should see it's acting for Krishna. That has something to do with us. That it has something, if we desire properly, it has something to do with us. Because we're part of Krishna. So if we desire to use the body for Krishna's service, that has some meaning to us. And it'll help us remember Krishna. And associate with him. If not, then we're wasting our time. Yeah. Bala Kriya Cha. But it's not Bala Kriya Cha. Gyana. Gyana is knowledge, consciousness. Bala is strength or force, activity. And Gyana, Kriya. Kriya is work. Bala is the strength to do the work, and Kriya is activity. Everything that goes on, they're all his energies. Any activity necessitates consciousness, that's one of his energies. Any activity that necessitates force, it's also his energy, power. And any activity that necessitates activity, that's coming from him. It's his different energies. We're not doing anything. So these are some of his energies. He has unlimited energies. But for any activity, you need consciousness. You need some means of doing something, and then you need the force to do it. Just like a body, if it has consciousness, it has knowledge, then the soul can do something. But it also needs the strength, the force to do it. But it also needs the body to do it. So for any activity, you need both knowledge and you need force and something to do it with. Yes. How else can you do it? Is it possible to judge someone's spiritual advancement by how strictly they're following the process? How else are you going to do it? That's the only way you can do it. Lakshana, everything has some symptom. Just like if you want to judge if someone's rich or not, you have to find out how much money they have. If someone claims I'm the richest man in the world, and you check out his bank account, he has nothing in it. He's wearing rags. He can't even get a subway token. But he's claiming he's the richest man. He can't accept it because there's no symptom. So if one is claiming he's a devotee, then he has to be doing what Krishna says to do. So the more strictly he does what Krishna says, what Krishna's representatives say, then the more he's a devotee. Otherwise, how can you know? Can't take his blood pressure to figure out. His heartbeats won't tell you. His bank account won't tell you. Only if he's following Krishna or not. Well, there's, as Krishna says, generally there is intensity of absorption as well as consistency. So some credit is given for consistency. It's not only strictly following the process for a couple of days or for a month, it's how consistently you strictly follow the process too. So if someone is able to even do a little bit over a long period of time, it's probably better than doing a whole lot in a very short period of time and not doing anything after that. Comets don't make it very good in our movement. Shooting stars, actually, that's what it is. Is there anyone who came back? Yeah, is there any proof? In the Shastra, someone went to the spiritual world and fell down again? Well, even if there was, you may want to hold your breath and see if he fell down. There is the story of Sunat Kumar, of Gopal Kumara and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami explains about one soul, how he went back to the spiritual world. And as far as we know, he's still there. He hasn't showed up anywhere in the material world yet. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.